psychology today. You've heard the word conformity. This is how badly Satan doesn't want you to get this. So now focus in twice as hard. Okay? Listen to this definition. The tendency for an individual to align their attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors with those of people around them. And the article goes on to talk about any group, big or small. You align your beliefs and attitudes and behaviors based upon what the external group around you will think of you. Okay? Now, get this starting out. Many people, non-believers and Christians, have this common idea in their head that to become a Christian, and you guys have heard this so often, well, Christianity is for the mindless and the weak that need something to lean on. And Christianity means you need to look like that. You're a bunch of mindless sheep. You don't know how to think for yourself. You don't know how to be independent. So you lean on the crutch of Christianity and you conform. And you have to become a certain type of person. And you have to have this rigid code of ethics and morals. And this is how you better talk and walk and look. And a lot of people don't want to become a Christian for that simple reason. Well, I'm not going to step into your mold and be mindless and conformed. I want to live independent. I want to be my own person. I want to rule my own life. You know, you've probably thought that way. You know many people that see Christians as mindless sheep. That's how they feel about us. We have conformed, and I'm not going to conform. I'm going to be myself. It causes a lot of unbelievers to never even pursue being a Christian. Now, listen closely to everything I say, because it's going to all come together in a minute. It causes many believers, because of this conformity mindset, to live, many people in this room, listen, very rigid and joyless lives with a constant emotional struggle that I have to maintain this code of ethics, and I have to maintain my sinlessness, and I have to act and talk and walk a certain way, or people in church will look down on me, or God will be mad at me, and on and on. And so you either live in this constant emotional struggle, or a lot of you live in a constant state of guilt because of this code of ethics you're supposed to follow, and you know you don't, so you live in guilt all the time. Rarely does a Christian show a life of peace and joy that they should. Now, I don't mean constant happiness. I don't mean walking around every time somebody looks at you and says, how you doing? I'm blessed by the Lord and just happy to be here. You know that's a lie. You know there's times you have a hard time. There's a difference between having joy and peace versus unhappiness in the circumstance. Now, please, if you listen, say amen. This view, listen, this attempt to live out a life of moral conformity as a way to be a true Christian is a totally wrong, clueless attitude. And you say, blasphemy. Just listen to me. And it's even a worse excuse to avoid getting to know Jesus Christ if you're a non-believer. We have taken this code of moral ethics that go along with the brand name of Christianity and turned it into a religion that has ruined us. This is what really bothers me about the whole thing, okay? And we're not even going to be talking about this today, but I got to throw this out here just to let you see both levels of how conformity is a joke, all right? Let's look at these free-spirited nonconformists who want to be non-believers because they don't want to be stuck in a mold, okay? Here's a picture of them. Tell me I'm lying. Why is it that the first thing that a person does who doesn't want to be a Christian because they don't want to conform is they try to conform to an image that the world has of them? And they have to keep that image of what everyone else sees as acceptable or pleasing or powerful or successful or even rebellious. I've got to keep an image of rebellion. In doing so, you're conforming. They conform to the same cage of self-focused misery that the rest of the world does. And they say, I'm being free-spirited. I'm not going to fit into your little conformed image of a Christian. I want you to seriously think about what I'm saying because it is 100% the truth. And you tie yourself to the same actions and the same entertainment and the same language and the same image as the rest of the conformed, free-spirited world that doesn't want to be labeled because they got to be their self. But every thought is, what does someone else think of me? How do I look to the world? What's the image that I'm portraying? But you're not conformed at all. So you fall into the same ditch of depression and anxiety and worry and hopelessness and grayness that the rest of the non-conformed world conforms into. Now listen, the simple truth, and this is only a side note, but it's worth talking about when I speak of conformity. The simple truth is, people oftentimes will stay away from Christianity simply because they're afraid of truly being a nonconformist. They're afraid of being the one that can step out and be different. They're afraid of being the one that'll be made fun of or not included or hurt or persecuted. They don't want to be that. They want to be comfortable in the masses. And then they'll tell you how you're having to be a conformist and they don't want to be part of that. And the flipped opposite is true. They don't have the nerve to step out and be someone different, so they stay back in the ranks. I see that more times than not. And that's just a side note. Listen to me. In absolute honesty and objectivity, especially in the world in which we live, it's the true Christian that chooses not to conform to a code of behavior and morality in this world. It takes a lot more nerve. And this is why God is really sharpening the church today. It takes a lot more nerve to step out with your new code of ethics. It takes a lot more nonconformity to step out and proclaim Christ than any of the masses that want to shake their finger at you. Now listen. This is where we're going to forget about the outside world and we're going to come in here and we're going to talk. At its very essence, please focus on every word. At its very essence, becoming a Christian with the object and intent that many of you have of conforming to a moral code. And that's what so many people think when they become a Christian. Well, I've become a Christian now. This is how I'm expected to act. Well, I've become a Christian now. This is what I need to do. If you become a Christian with the object and the intent of conforming to this moral code out of fear or desire for reward or out of acceptance around your peers, and it's not an outpouring of the desires in your heart, but it's this code of ethics that you keep because you now proclaim Christianity and you got to keep people happy, then you have become just as much of a conformist as the world that has to follow every rule that the world sets for them, or they won't look like they should and they won't fit in like they should. If you become a Christian and every rule that you keep is because you're worried about what some other fallen believer in the church thinks of you, or are you going to be punished by God, then you are a conformist. What is the definition of a conformist? Everything that you do in your behavior based upon the group that you're in and what they will think. Do you realize the majority, which means people in this church, the majority of Christians have their drive for what they should and shouldn't do in their code of ethics based upon what the group around them will think or say? So what about when they're not around? What about when nobody's looking? What about all the small things, all the little things that nobody knows but you and God? What about the things that you do with a smile on your face and a seemingly joyful step that the rest of the world doesn't even know about? And you have no joy, but you got to keep up the right image because you're a Christian. No, you're not a Christian. You're a conformist. And in all honesty, that's the last thing Jesus wants. I'll tell you that right now. Well, Jesus wants us to conform to a certain code. No, he doesn't. that conformed code was the old law, and he did everything he could to release you from it. You are not called by God in any way, shape, form, or fashion to be bent into shape by outside pressure from the church or even from him. It's a nice start to fear God. He says the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. But if that's only the beginning, then you should grow from there, shouldn't you? We as Christians have become the mindless puppets to the crazy world that they say we are sometimes. But the joke is that they are more puppeteering than we are because they have an image that they have to fit into to prove how individual they are. And we were the same way. And many of us prove it by acting the same way, and we just cross the line and put a different label on it. Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. I know and I love you, but I watch it all the time. So many people in this room are so worried about your stinking image, whether it be physical or even your righteousness, that you say and do anything you have to, even if it means bringing on more sin to protect your righteous image. Well, that proves it's to the core in your heart, doesn't it? And I'm not throwing anything at you that I'm not capable of doing and may not have done in the past. I'm not talking down to you, but I'm talking real. And if I see it as your pastor and don't say it, then I'm just dumb. Because it destroys you. And it shows that you've got this core in you that's not the core that you might even think it is. And it needs to be addressed. And if it's infecting the majority of Christians today, do you not think it snuck into this little group? And that's why so many people, even in this room that claim to be Christians, live a life of misery and drama. I will tell you right now, where there's a lot of drama, there's not a true Christian-spirited life going on, period. Something's wrong, because God ain't the God of drama. He's the God of excitement, adventure. That kind of drama's all cool, but not the Hallmark love story drama. And this is the empty mistake that so many people in Christianity, including us in this room, make on a daily basis. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the purpose, if you listen, say amen. Amen. Hang on every word. Simple verse. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Not love forced because you're worried about what people at church will think, because you have an image to uphold, and because you claimed Christ and he might punish you if you don't. That's conformity. God does not want you to conform. God wants you to be reborn. God wants you to transform. Listen to this verse, Romans 12:2. I don't care if you've heard it. Act like you haven't and just humor me and just listen to every word. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, listen to this. Conformed. Change my behavior based upon the people around me and the expectations they put on me. Transformed. My worldview, my way of thinking, my total purpose for life has now changed. Therefore, my external changes to reflect that because it's who I am. And no one has to tell me. No one has to approve or disapprove. No one else has to do it. It's what I want to do because it's the basic drive of my life. That's transformation versus conformity. Does that make sense? The majority, I speak safely, of the Christian world is acting conformed. And that's why you're not happy. And that's why you're not true. And that's why you're not faithful in little things. And that's why you fall constantly, stay fallen more than you stay up. And that's why you're not used. And that's why you're more focused on the world, because all you're doing is proclaiming Jesus and conforming to another group and another image, just like you did before you proclaimed him. And there's been no transformation, and there's been no true heart in anything. There's just been a new group that I'm trying to please. You've never discovered who you are and changed who you are and let your actions be a reflection of who you are. You've just conformed to another image. And some of you will protect that new image, even in Christianity, at any cost, no matter who it hurts. And that's even more sad than being conformed to the world. Listen. The only time, Christian or non-Christian, that you can find true freedom is to break the cycle of conformity and mimicry of the people around you and just be who you are. Conformity in Christianity. If you come in and you become the best Christian in this group and you're just conforming to an image, you have missed everything Jesus Christ died to put in your heart. He did not die to make you behave physically. He can do that on his own. He can force it. And if that's all you're doing, you missed everything. And the problem is you're so close to the beauty on the outside that you think Christ wants, you're probably more lost than the person shooting up and sleeping with people to pay for it. He doesn't want conformity. He wants an external reflection of something that went on in you that he died to bring to you. Any action that occurs in you, I want you to listen to this. This is the opposite of conformity. This is, if you will grasp, transformation. Transformation happens because you literally understand and you are overwhelmed by the kind of love that the Creator of the universe has for you. That He would die on the cross begging the Father to forgive you. That He would spend his last prayer saying, I want to be so close to the one that's spitting on me that they're as close as you are to me, God. Real transformation sees that and says, oh, that means I need to change. That's worth something. Real transformation happens when you look at people around you and you think, my gosh, they're awesome and they're worth it and they're hurting and they're broken. And they act that way because they don't know better. They act that way because they're in pain. And God died so that they could be in heaven perfect and joyful and sweet and humble. And look at how hurt they are. You see the worth of people. They're not somebody to serve your needs, somebody to get in your way, somebody to agitate your life, somebody to waste your time. Suddenly, because of who God is and the worth He put on them, you really see the worth in people. And you don't have to bite your lip and through gritted teeth be nice to somebody because a Christian thing to do is to be nice. That's misery. That's not Christian love, it's misery. To transform means you see how many people you hurt in your sin. It means you see how your sin causes your mind to sway from God and find real value and worth in other people and focus only on self. And you don't want that anymore because you know how bad it is. And so you really want to beat it even though it's tempting because you know why it's wrong and you don't want to be a part of it. Instead of thinking, well, as long as nobody catches me or God will understand or how far can I go, that's conformity. Transformation is, yes, I'll fall. Yes, it's tempting, but I know why it's wrong. I don't want to be part of it anymore. That's transformation. Transformation is understanding the beauty of the world and walking outside, whether it's raining, snowing, sleeting, and saying, my gosh, look at the wonder, creativity, and unknowable intelligence behind everything made for me in love and absorbing it. Transformation is understanding to the core, the true wisdom and acts of righteousness, and that they're worth embracing, and that it really is the only way you'll be happy and believing it. Transformation is finally grasping that you walk with God beside you and in you, constantly wanting to work through you. Conformity is you don't think about Him until you need Him. Transformation, if you listen and say amen, is having the passion to please your closest love and friend having the passion to please your closest loving friend because of what he's done to prove himself, because of what he's done to save you, because of what he's done to hold on to you, because of what he's done to forgive you. And now you have a passion to return the unreturnable. Not just act right so nobody will know that you're a beanhead. Transformation is expecting to actually hear from and see God like you've never expected before. And it's possible. Transformation is the freedom and the adventure and the nonconformity. That's transformation. Transformation is swimming against the flow. Transformation is I don't want to be conformed to the world or the stinking Christian image in the church. I want to be so close to God that anything I do I know is okay, whether the church does it or not, whether the higher-ups in the church say it's right or not, whether my pastor approves or not, whether my friends in the youth group are doing it or not, whether the old beanheads at church are doing it or not. I'm so close and so loving to my God, and I've been so transformed by His love, I know this is right, and I will do it, and I can really care less what you think about it, and I'll love you enough to hate me while I do it, but I'm going to do it. That's transformation, not conformity. So to be a real person of God means that you have to be a nonconformist and not care one more time what one person, one inch outside your body, thinks anymore about what you do. Transformation means that you live an entire life with nothing but the freedom to choose to do based on a newfound love and an incredible wisdom that you discovered. And you look at that wisdom and you apply it with the love of the Spirit and you make your own free decisions. You aren't conformed to anyone. God did not come down to conform you. That would erase everything He wanted. He wanted to create such a transformation in you that you would choose to do the things that He knows are right. And you would choose to love Him in such a crazy way that it alters your life. Not follow Him out of fear or reputation. And if you do that, guys, if you'll do this, for some of you, it's not a minor thing. For some of you, this has been your life. And it's going to require a very different mode of thinking than you have. If you'll do it, you will live life, you will see life differently. Every day, hard or not, it might get harder, but you'll see it differently. You will treat people differently, not because you're worried about how you look, because you see them differently. You will act, dress, and enjoy things differently. And nobody will have to tell you in some legalistic sermon how you should dress or how you should act. Because it'll be who you are. And how you're affected by the pressures of people and time and work and difficulties, whether they seem just or unjust to you, will not have to be dictated by someone who preaches at you. Because it'll be a part of who you are. If you've lived to a conformed code of ethics, all these things rock your boat. Because the inside is not prepared. Because putting on this beautiful outside picture has nothing to do with what all these things will do to you at the core if you're not ready for them. All these things change because your motivation changes. Your heart, your mind, your very soul, your will have actually changed from conformity because of a truth that you've embraced as your own, not the church's. Most people, even in the church, don't really want to embrace Christ because they're not ready to just leave a world of conformity. That's comfortable. Listen close. You and I will never be true followers of Christ until until we do what we do as a choice from a deep realization of who He really is and what He is worthy of. It is the only way you will ever truly be the Christian that you need to be. If you have one more thought about what will they think, or what am I supposed to do, or what will I get in trouble for doing, then you need to stop real quick and address it. When Jesus is asked about conformity to the law, this is His answer that you should know all too well, but read it with fresh eyes today. Matthew 22:35, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law that I must conform to?" I'll have to add there. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, internal, soul, internal, and all of your mind, internal. This is the great, first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law." Anything the law tells you to do externally, it hangs on a secret. Any external law, any conformity hangs on something else. What did He say that hanger is? What goes on in here? Do you see how He said that point blank, if you'll just listen? I don't give a hoot about your stinking 613 laws unless they hang on the love in your heart and your mind and your soul. And if you're unsure about all of these conformist laws, if you don't even know them, how about just choosing the law with all your heart and mind and soul? And I guarantee you, if you do that as the core, all these conformist laws will be followed. And I won't have to look at them or check them or worry about them. That's why I died to save you from them, because they're not helping you. And yet, 2,000 years later, the majority of people probably in this room are living by your conformed code of ethics and how good you look according to them. And you have no relationship. Get this. I can't say it enough during this sermon, because so many things have been so heavy on my heart that I think we need to hear, including me. The big word, righteousness, the big word, holiness, are simply actions based upon completely selfless love for others. Back up, rewind, listen again. Righteousness and holiness are just the physical end result to an incredible selfless love within. A righteous act and a holy act on the outside without the core of selfless love motivating it is not righteous and holy. It is completely the opposite. It is a deception to hide an evil intent, which is even worse than just acting it out. When God is righteous, when the angels sing holy, 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 that holiness in its definition is outward action based upon an inward selfless love. It's just the end result to total love. Holiness and righteousness are the core of love. And when you act it out, it's disgusting. And it means nothing. And God didn't have a work in your heart. But yet, the Christians are the majority of the people that will walk around with the image of conformity all over them, hollow. Because you don't have the core. The only way to be a true follower is to be a nonconformist. To not care about the world, not care what they think. Most of you at one time or another have seen my old beat up pickup truck, Hank. I wish Hank looked that good. That's the exact model and color of Hank. It's the way Hank looked about 10 years ago. Hank is a third-generation pickup truck, and he looks like it. My grandpa bought him new. I was there today, brought him home. My dad had him. I had him. And none of us have put him away and treated him like a sweet little old antique. We've driven the heck out of him. His name's Hank, because he's named after my dad's stage name when he used to play music. And it sounded tough. And he's dirty and ugly and old, so he looks like a Hank. Now, Hank, this might be the craziest thing you've ever heard, but it is so dead on that I've got to tell you, I think it was from God. Hank is the absolute perfect picture of the life of many professing Christians. So we're going to listen to the parable of the old pickup truck, and I think Jesus would be happy teaching this if he were here. Jesus took things as simple as a handful of seed, a briar bush, right? So don't talk smack to me about my old pickup truck parable, because it's real. And if you listen, it's going to sink deep and cut your heart out before you're done, because it's true. Don't think bad of Hank when this is over, because it's not Hank's fault that I use him this way. Hank has a problem. Hank has a broken fuel gauge. It's not the normal broken. Hank's fuel gauge shows completely full anytime you have more than a gallon of gas in it. A gallon of gas doesn't go far with Hank. So I'll be driving down the road, and I'll be feeling safe and content, all because Hank's given me some false indicators of what's going on in that tank. And about 3 or 4 miles before Hank wants to leave me stranded, the needle will go from completely full to completely empty in about 4 seconds. True story. And I can almost hear him saying, when it goes down. Right? So I'll be at any given time, any distance from the gas station, driving along, humming a tune, thinking all is well inside Hank. And Hank, right before he completely runs out of gas, just lets out a big scream and says, I'm going down, man. Now, Bub can attest to this, as though that's not bad enough. What really compounds the problem is Hank has an even bigger issue that came up at Christmas time. Hank has a small, well, it's not so small anymore, is it, Bub? Steady fuel leak that popped up at about Christmas time. You can't see it. It's small to the eye. The whole fuel system's perfect except for this one invisible spot where the fuel has begun to steadily leak. And anywhere I drive Hank, I leave a nasty, toxic wake behind him. And I just pray nobody throws a cigarette out behind me at the stoplight. And it's gotten so bad that after Christmas, I parked Hank. Because at the nativity, Hank started leaking so bad all of a sudden, I had to leave it parked there while we were doing our thing because I brought the hay in old Hank. I had to set an aluminum pan under Hank. And in the 3 hours that we were there, we caught about 3 12-ounce cans, pop cans of gas. And Bub gave me his cooler to put it in so I wouldn't have to pour it down the drain to get Hank back home. And it was the last time I drove Hank. Because if I go and park Hank anywhere, if he sits there with you too long, he will envelop you in toxicity. He will leave a mess anywhere he goes. He will leave a mess, especially anywhere he sits. And what finally happened, I took him home, and he killed all the grass in my field because the entire tank of gas eventually leaked out through that one small, simple leak. Until now, Hank can't go anywhere. Hank has died. Hank has no life in him. But at least he's not spreading his toxicity everywhere else. And Hank doesn't have to lie about his empty fuel gauge because he's empty. And when I finally get the money to fix old Hank, I'll have to go and pour a lot of gas in him just to get him where he's going. Now, application is easy. There's a number of people in this room that are exactly like old Hank. You don't truly have any transformation in your heart. And you're following a self-imposed, rigid code of ethics in front of people, at least. And you're putting on a show with a perfect fuel gauge. And you're pretty much empty inside. And most people, not all, most people don't know that your tank is pretty much empty until you've just gotten so low that you're ready to crash. And then suddenly you scream out. And you have drama. Because you've really been empty all along and you can't deny it anymore because you're about to get to the point you can't go. Your true heart, instead of having a full tank, you're empty because you're full of lust and unforgiveness and the need to control your own life. That's a joke. And anger and selfishness and self-pity. Oh, it's easy to have self-pity and be enveloped in it and feel like you're the victim. You're not the one that should be fussed at. Self-pity is still a focus on who? Self. Greed. And what happens is your tank's already empty. If you're running on that, your tank's already empty. But the problem is, if you got a fake fuel gauge and your tank's starting to run empty, there's a reason. There ain't a person here who's living a life of conformity versus transformation that doesn't have a fuel leak. Not a person here. And if you're living in conformity instead of transformation, you've got a leak somewhere because it ain't real. And if it ain't real, then something's leaking out of you that ought not be leaking out of you. And for some of you, that one little fuel leak is a reason that you'd rather play games of conformity than really be transformed, because you'd have to fix that stinking fuel leak. That fuel leak is proof that you're just conforming. And the problem is, there are many Christians, even in this church, you got an empty fuel gauge, and you're leaking fuel, and you think nobody can smell it, and you leave a wake of toxins and drama everywhere you go, and you drag people down with you because you don't know just how bad it's gotten, because all your thoughts are about you. Your thoughts aren't about who Jesus is and how worthy He is and how worthy other people are and how you need to live for Him and how your life counts for Him. Your thought is on, what do I look like to other people? What can I get away with? Because you're so stinking close to the world. And you're toxic. And you're going to end up one of two ways. You're going to end up completely out of gas, dead in the corner. Or you're going to end up with somebody throwing a cigarette behind you at the stoplight. And you're going to go up in a blaze of glory. And it's not a joke. It's a nice little parable, but it's dead on. How many people in here have beautiful fuel gauges right now and you're flat empty and spilling toxin everywhere? Because you care about the image. When I'm driving down the road and people look at me and Hank, besides knowing that he needs a paint job, they got no idea all this is going on, do they? But Hank's on the ragged edge. And just like Jesus would, I just put up with Hank and love him anyway and try to keep him full until the day he can be made new. But even I had to finally run out of patience and say, I've got to park you, brother. You're killing me and you're killing other people. And you just need to sit here until you can be made new because you're no longer useful. How many people are like old Hank? And you are pushing it and he loves you and he'll never give up on you. But because he loves you and others, there is going to come a time he's going to park you very visibly because all you do is dump toxins and he's going to let you run out of gas. Romans 8, 5, 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Boom, freedom to be spiritually minded, not to conform to my laws and have peace of mind. It's to be spiritually minded is peace and life. But if you're not, if you're just conforming while your heart is not spiritually minded, he says it's death. If the Spirit of God has cut your heart with this, I know that there are some here whom it should have cut your heart, and if it doesn't, you're farther gone than you think. Scriptures say a lot. I'm just going to read a few. I'm just going to read them. No comments. I want them to speak for themselves. And I want you, if this is touching your heart at all, to just really pay attention to these few scriptures and let them speak for themselves. God's word doesn't have to be always spoken over. These verses are about the difference in conformity and transformation and the differences in real freedom found through righteousness chosen because your heart is chosen. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Stop. If some of you don't read that and consider through the Spirit, you don't need to go any further. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intents of the thoughts. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Forsake him where? In your heart, in your mind. Many of you have done that, even though your actions are okay. Isaiah 26:8, Lord, we show our trust in you by obeying your laws. Our heart's desire is to glorify your name. I'm doing what you told me because I trust and I believe you know more than I do, and you're not just a stick in the mud, and I'm the beanhead for thinking that I'm smarter and I can make a better way and I can get by with it and still have a righteous, happy life. I trust you in faith. That's why I'll follow, not in conformity, but in transformation, that I believe this is real. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Some of you put great deals of time into making yourself pretty and perfect, and you wrap up the outside just right, and you spend great hours making sure that you look just awesome, and you don't spend a second guarding your heart. Which one's more important? Which one is the cover and the conformity for your image, and which one is the true transformation? And which one do you give more time to? The conformity in the image or the transformation? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Every verse crawls right through conformity and tackles what? Transformation of the center, of the being. Is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Last, Matthew 22:37, the last part of that. Once again, to cap that off, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Choosing to pursue your own selfish lust, it's conformity to the masses. Choosing to proclaim Christ while you simply act like you've transformed is the worst conformity you could possibly ever have, and you look more disgusting than the world. What you need is real freedom. Fake love and forced conformity will always have an empty take. And somewhere, no matter the size, always a leak. Stop. Listen. Are you leaking? For your own sake and the sake of people watching you and the sake of the one that deserves it the most, this is what I ask you to do. Make a decision. Stop being a conformist with Jesus' name on it. If you want to be a conformist, then go join the world and conform. Stop doing anything, even one more day, to please anyone ever. be a rebel for Jesus. Embrace the truth of His Word, the wisdom of His Word, the worthiness that He deserves because He's so awesome in humility and loyalty. Embrace that and act on that rather than acting on saving your own hide and looking good. Then let your life listen. Let your life's choices be choices of passion and commitment because He's so awesome. Choices of passion and commitment don't care what the consequences. Don't care of the persecution. Don't care what they have to give up. Don't really care what they're thought of. Don't ever stop to ask what the status quo is doing. And here's where it'll all come together. Listen close. If it becomes a transformation, the real big difference, listen, between a transformation and conformity is the small things. Things nobody else sees. Things nobody else knows. Every thought that you take captive that no one will even appreciate but Jesus because He knows. Every time you love when the world would hate. Every time you pray instead of lust. Every time you make that decision, go that extra mile that nobody else will know about. Because it's on the small level. Listen. It's on the smallest level day to day that your real heart motive is displayed. The things nobody can see going on inside that fuel tank. You can put on a big show with all the big things and hide all the small stuff. That's how you judge yourself. How are you with the small things? And that is exactly why Jesus said in Luke 16:10, He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in least will be unjust in great things. Why? Because it's the small thing that has determined the real transformation of the heart. And the real transformation of the heart will eventually come out. And the small things are just the fuel indicator in reality. So you can hide all the small things all you want all day and conform to a certain Christian image, and you ain't fooling nobody. Maybe for a little while, but the stench of your leaking gas will eventually let everyone know. Now, one more comment, which means we have 30 more minutes. Now, listen. Do you know what the most important day of your whole life is? Today. Because yesterday's done and tomorrow hasn't come, and right now, this moment is the only literal physical time you have with any power to make any change. And that power is stolen from you every day when Satan whispers in your ear, when your own begrudging ways whisper in your ear, I'll take care of it later. And I get so sick of it. Because I'll take care of it later means I don't care. That's what it means. Because you always make a way for what's important, and you always make a way for it not to occur if it's not important. But the only power you have is in this present moment. And if it's not important enough for you to do something about right now, then you won't do it. So just admit it. Righteousness is not a spiritual mystery. It is love at the core result of what you believe. Righteousness is the heart and mind of transformation to the smallest things. Righteousness is focusing, loving, and trusting, and pleasing Jesus Christ. So just get rid of your rules. Get rid of what the church thinks. Please find real freedom, crazy adventure, and real purpose. You never have purpose conforming to a group, ever. Real purpose comes when you have the freedom to step out and be who you were meant to be. Close with these two verses. I won't say another word. Romans 13, 9. The commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment, are all summed up by this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love, therefore, breaks conformity and does what it should do in freedom. Galatians 5:1. Christ has liberated us to be what class? Free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Even your Christian image can be a yoke of slavery. He freed you to be who you are in His wisdom and love. He doesn't even want you to be Jesus Christ. He wants you to have the righteousness and holiness of His Jesus Christ in your way, because He created you like no other. And then hopefully, in seeing the wisdom and love that He has, you will want to be one with Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to be a complete nonconformist, not only in the world, but in the Christian movement. There is no conformity. There is freedom in Christ. And you will only grasp what Christ died to put in your heart when you grasp who He is, and it transforms you, and your outward behavior is just a result of that. Then you will hear Him. Then you will see crazy things. Then you will stop worrying and having anxiety. Then scriptures explicitly say you will know His will, right and wrong, direction for life, because you're walking with Him in your heart instead of acting like it and then wanting the world to tell you what you should do. And there is no other important day in your life like today. And if you've been a conformist, rebel. Let today be your rebellion. And stop being ashamed and embarrassed and just admit it and ask forgiveness and get extreme. Your pastor is asking you to be an anarchist. If there's ever a time you should listen, it should be today. Please don't let this thought leave your heart without judging where you are and doing something about it. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I know this is one of the biggest issues in the church, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know there are people that have been pained to the heart. I know there are people that have found themselves in this. And I know that it's been my problem in the past. Lord, what's the use in following you anymore if it's not a transformation? I just ask, Holy Spirit, let people be completely changed, completely broken, completely humbled, and then lift them back up and let them see that it's all right and that you're always there and the transformation can be complete and they can live the most incredible life they've ever had. But Lord, don't let them off the hook as long as they just want to keep acting. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior's name.